Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and how's everybody doing this evening? I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP locker room, and we are ready for tonight's show, a very informative show. We are excited to have this guest on. This is a gentleman that played football, so I always like bringing on guests that have some type of background in the football industry, because that is our audience. And not only did he play football, but he played at a high level. He went to Syracuse University. After going to Syracuse, he actually worked in the entertainment industry on the music side of things, and I'll let him get into that side of the story here shortly. And then he went on to become an attorney, currently has an amazing business called the Brand Investment Law Firm. They work with athletes on a wide range of different topics, but it's about protecting athletes off the field. You know, there's so many layers to a professional athlete's life, and definitely investing, finances, branding are all part of the things that athletes need to not only learn about, but they really need to be strategic with. So the gentleman that I have on tonight is none other than Mr. George Scott. I think we already have George on the line. Hey, George, can you hear us tonight?
I can. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be talking to you.
Perfect. So, hey, I know this is your first time in the BYGP locker room, but we have an audience of young football players. We have parents on that tune in, and then also sometimes coaches as well. So you're perfect for our audience, and we really appreciate the time.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure. It's an honor. And, you know, I love talking to football family, because as we all know, in football, we're all family. It's all, you know, we all kind of go through this unique experience, and it's a great thing.
Definitely. So, hey, let's get right into it, because I know our time is limited. For those that don't know you, I know you went to Syracuse University, but where are you originally from, George?
I'm actually originally from upstate New York, a small town called Baldwinsville, New York, which is a suburb of Syracuse University. So, yeah, they sold me the dream of staying home, so that's what I did.
There you go. And as far as playing football, how old were you when you first started playing?
I was probably 6 or 7 years old when I first started playing football.
And then who was it? Was there somebody in particular, a brother, your dad, mom, who inspired you to actually start playing?
Well, I'm the youngest of three boys, so I had two older brothers who played football. Now, they were primarily basketball players, but as a young boy, the one sport that I gravitated to was football. I mean, I was, you know, when I was too young to play, wanted to play because of I wanted to play so much. My mother negotiated a deal for me to be a mascot that first year. I was too young, and so I could put on a uniform and run around the games, but not actually go into the game.
Wow, that's a funny story, and I'm glad you bring that up, because a dear friend of mine that played with me in college, and he actually went on and played for the Cowboys, named Andre Girard, he told me the same exact story, that his mom made him the mascot. So that's funny that you guys have the same story there. Talk to me a little bit about growing up. Were you a multi-sport kid, or was it just all football 24/7?
Well, when I was younger, I was a multi-sport kid. I played everything I could play. And the only reason I stopped playing a sport as I got older is because it created a conflict. So I was soccer, baseball, wrestling, football, basketball. And then as I got older, the seasons got longer, and then it was just basketball, football, and track. And it wasn't really until I was about in ninth grade that I decided that, I'm just going to play football, but I still ran track as to help me train for football.
Definitely. And the reason why I asked is because I'm sure you know, but a lot of young men are specializing nowadays, and I'm a big believer in playing multiple sports. So I'm glad you brought that up. When did you start to realize, George, that football was the vehicle that could give you maybe a college education?
You know, it's very clear point in my life. It was during the summer going into my eighth grade year, I went to my high school summer football camp that they have every year, and I had a great camp. My high school coach came into my dorm room that evening and told me, he said, "Listen, George, if you listen to me, I will guarantee you won't have to pay for college." And at that point, it became real to me that, you know, I could play college football at a high level. And so fortunately, I, as hard as it was, difficult as it was, I did listen to my coach after that.
Great point right there. And was the decision to go to Syracuse solely on proximity to your house, or were there some other factors that made it a slam dunk for you?
It was some other factors. I mean, to be honest, since that seventh, eighth grade year, ninth grade year, my plan was to go to Michigan, and that's where I wanted to do. And they offered me, but what happened was, I was a fullback in high school, but I was a running fullback. The only reason I really played fullback was because we had a very talented tailback, end up going D1AA or FCS, I guess they call it nowadays. And so they wanted to put us in the same backfield. But, you know, I was a big-time runner, and, you know, most Big Ten schools would recruit me as tailback. Now, Syracuse came to me, and they said, you know, you can be a tailback in college, have 1,000 yards a year, and there'll be 100 of you in the country. Or you can come to Syracuse and play fullback, have 1,000 yards as a fullback, and catch the ball out of the backfield, and there'll only be one of you in the country. And at that time, they had McNabb. They had a fullback by the name of Robert Conrad, who played for the Dolphins for a number of years. And they had that offense. And so I was like, you know, that's great. You know, and not to mention that they came in with a big presentation in front of all my friends at school. And so here's the local school, the local boy. And it just, you know, I bought in after that.
Made sense. No, that totally made sense, it sounds like. And, you know, a lot of kids right now, young men, are currently in that position, George, where they're deciding where they're going to go to college. Signing day is about a week away. So what advice would you give, maybe three tips, to a young man trying to make that decision right now?
One, I would say, you know, don't close any doors. Keep your options open. At the same time, follow your heart and go with your gut and your feeling. And most importantly, you have to look beyond football, okay? When you get to the campus, the situation in football, especially these days, is going to change most likely through coaches, through even conference changes, whatever the case is, right? So the university that you're looking at has tremendous opportunity for you outside of football. Life is bigger than football, and whatever that goal of your life is that's bigger than football, make sure that university is a place that you can really accelerate yourself towards that goal.
Great point right there. Now, you went to Syracuse, obviously top-notch university. What was the biggest adjustment for you from high school to college on and off the field?
Well, on the field, I'll tell you, and this is kind of ties into your last question, and this is why I say one of those points. After my first year there, the offensive coordinator who ran that special offense that featured the fullback left. So an old school offense coordinator came in, and he literally took me to his office, turned on my film of me running the ball, and said, "That's great that you can run, but I don't care about it anymore. You have to block." And so I had to turn into a blocking fullback. And that just fundamentally was not who I was. I was a tailback playing fullback. But, you know, you had to do it, and I wanted to play football. I didn't want to leave, and so that's what I did. And, you know, off the field, this is something that all college athletes really have to understand. Your day flips 100%, you know, 180 degrees from high school. In high school, you go to school for 6 hours, then you have, you know, practice for 2 or 3 hours, and that's it. It's totally opposite in college. You know, you go to class for 2 or 3 hours, then you have football for 6 or 7 hours. And on top of it, your academics, just because you only have a short class time, but the requirements for your class are a lot larger. So you have to really figure out how to manage your time by yourself, because no one's going to take your hand and take you to where you need to do. And you don't have a lot of time. On top of it, you're a college kid, and you're around non-athletes who are partying on Wednesday and Thursday night where you're trying to go to sleep. So, you know, you definitely have to learn true personal responsibility.
I'm glad you brought all of that up, and hopefully you young athletes out there are listening, because what George is talking about is totally the truth, and you have to manage that and be smart. When did you start to realize that college football was a business?
You know, you realize it pretty quick once you step on campus, you get through preseason. I think it really consciously got to my mind. You know, my freshman year, we went to the Orange Bowl. We played Florida. And just seeing how the school reacted to that fact, how the players were treated to that fact, is just really being a commodity, and how, you know, when it came to those who were being paid to help the football team, coaches and other faculty, and seeing where they placed football in front of everything else, you really see that, you know, it's a business. It's a revenue stream and a marketing tool for the university, and your job is to fulfill that role. And that's okay, but you just have to be conscious of that.
Definitely. Is it the university and the pro organization's jobs to make sure that these young men are taken care of off the field, or in your opinion, is it up to each individual athlete?
It's absolutely up to the individual athlete. I think the universities and the leagues, they have some sort of responsibility to do it. I encourage them to do it. I support all the efforts that they have. But at the end of the day, they're only going to do enough to satisfy the perception, and that's okay. I mean, they're not in the business of doing that. They're in the business of, you know, putting on football programs for people to pay money to be entertained. And I think, you know, I think we sell our athletes short if we try to put the onus on these universities and these leagues. We have everything in front of us as athletes, especially scholarship athletes, especially at these major schools. You know, there's not much that we're going to ask for and not get. So as long as we take the personal responsibility to go out and seek this information and seek this education and absorb it, we'll be more than fine.
Well said right there, George. Now, you were a high school All-American. I mean, you rushed for over 4,000 yards, 64 TDs. You went to a big-time university. You're playing on a big-time stage. When did you personally start to think about life after football?
Well, you know, for me, honestly, football was always a means. It was never an end. I wasn't blessed with growing up in a wealthy situation, but I always wanted to do big things. And I understood that the only way I was really going to go to a great university, no matter how good my grades was to buy a sport. And football was that sport. And, you know, I love football. I love playing the game. But I tried really hard for people who ever had a conversation with me to walk away from that conversation and not say, I just talked to a football player, but I talked to, you know, whatever it was I wanted to believe I was. because, you know, when I think about the people who changed this world, they may have done something like a sport. You know, if you think about Nelson Mandela, he was a boxer, but that's not what people think about when you think about Nelson Mandela. And those are the kind of people that I aspire to be, and football was just going to help me get there.
Perfectly said right there, and hopefully so many of you young men are listening that you're more than an athlete. So many of you have passions and talents outside of football, so, you know, make everybody else realize that as well. What was it that made you decide to get into law?
Well, my wife will say I always have a knack and a desire to argue at every chance I get. But, you know, I'm a transaction. I'm a deal lawyer. So I try to make deals and make agreements. But I tell you what it really was, you know, after I decided to focus on the music business after college and go that route. And I started, you know, worked my way up the corporate ladder at the record label and started negotiating business deals in the music business, even with the business school. And after I graduated, I realized that I actually felt I can be more effective being an attorney, because as an attorney, I can do the business deal, but I also can negotiate the language that ultimately goes into the contract. And what I found out from experience in the business world is the devil's in the details, and two people can reach a certain agreement, but the lawyers can fundamentally change that agreement. And I wanted to make sure that the deal was what the business people truly wanted it to be.
Do you feel that athletes are underrepresented as far as good league representation?
I do. You know, athletes, you know, they're entertainers. They're in the spotlight, and you have a lot of people looking to advise them that don't necessarily have their best interest in mind. They like to just have their name on their client list and like to try to be in the entourage, per se. And, you know, and there's also barriers that the athlete will put up when it comes to trust. And sometimes they'll trust the wrong people who don't necessarily have the proper experience because, you know, it's difficult for them to trust people.
Great, great point right there. And for those that are just joining us, we're in the BYGP locker room, and we are blessed with the opportunity to talk to Mr. George Scott. This is somebody that played at a high level, Syracuse University. Now he has his own business, Brand Investment Law Firm. He's an attorney working with athletes. And can you tell us, for those listening, George, what exactly does your firm provide for athletes?
So we provide legal services for athletes off the field business transactions. And the one of the ways I like to try to describe this is try to compare us to the other two services of athlete representation. So you have the agent, everybody knows a sports agent, and what they fundamentally do is they represent the athlete to try to create income from the athlete's sport. So they're going to do their player contract, they'll do some marketing deals and traditional endorsements for products and et cetera. Then you have a financial advisor, and what they fundamentally do is they try to protect and manage the money that the athlete makes from their sport. What we do at Brand Investment Law Firm is we take the fact in their brand, the fact that they play a sport, we use that and we leverage that in their business transactions and create and transition their brand from an athlete to a business mogul. So, you know, if the athlete wants to be a venture capitalist or a tech investor, we're going to make sure that they enter into transactions that help them, lead them in that direction, build them a reputation and a brand. So eventually when they retire, it's not that, hey, there's that football player trying to do this business. It's there's that venture capital tycoon because they've done so many successful transactions and they've been in business with these other big-time venture capitalists. But we're able to do it differently because they were a athlete and they leveraged their brand in that business.
Amazing. That's exactly what we teach our young men on a smaller level. As far as the athletes that you work with, are some of the concepts or is that thought process easy for them to pick up, or is it a lot of training for them to really catch on to what you're teaching?
You know, it depends on the athlete, but generally speaking, it's a lot of training. I try to do, you know, things like this and get into universities and schools and try to change the mindset of these young athletes so it's not so difficult. So many times, you know, we're so focused on the sport, we're so focused on that success that we don't think about anything else. But the reality is, no matter how far we get, there's always going to be something else. We can't play till we're 50 and 60. I don't care how lucky you are. You're going to have a long life after your sport. And so you have to take advantage of the opportunity you have in college, in high school, of being an athlete. You have access, you have a name, you have a brand, and if you ultimately know what you want to do off the field, you can use that as to such an advantage. And you can be in certain deals that the average non-athlete cannot be in. And so getting to understand that aspect of it, it comes with a lot of counseling and work, but eventually they do get there.
So in your opinion, some of the things that you teach and you practice with the athletes you work with, that can be practiced on a lower level with a kid in high school or college, that leverage from being an athlete?
Absolutely, and I encourage it. I mean, you're so much further along. Like, listen, if I'm in eighth grade and I know that my bigger picture is to, I don't know, be president in the United States, right? I'm going to make decisions in my life that are going to go down that road. Now, I still want to play football as long as I can. And if pros happens, that happens. But now I'm going to look at my college choice a little different. I'm going to look at the choices and the people that I meet at college a little differently. I'm going to make sure that I don't just befriend other athletes at the university. I'm going to get outside that bubble and go make sure I'm talking to the diplomats, the international people that are at my school, because, you know, these universities are international. It's unbelievable the type of people you go to school with if you just go outside of the athletic bubble for a couple of days. And, you know, I'll do everything with that approach. And if I make it to the pros, you know, the longer I do that, the better I am, you know. And so the earlier you can start thinking that way, the better things ultimately get.
I love it. Roughly about 10 more minutes here with George Scott. Talk to me a little bit about why you feel so many athletes do make bad decisions off the field as far as the business transactions.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, we have the two-edged sword aspect of being an athlete, of having this confidence. And when that confidence is really what breeds our success. I mean, especially when you make it to a high level in college, you've been told for a really long time that, you know, only 0.1% of people get Division I scholarships. So, you know, you got to do something else. Well, you proved them wrong. Look at me. And now you've been told only, you know, less percentage make it to the pros. Well, I proved them wrong. Look at me. So now you can't tell me that I can't make a whole bunch of money in this business venture because, you know, Joe Schmo did it and he's a fool and he made a whole bunch of money. So between that arrogance and then the ignorance of just not knowing what you don't know and not knowing what you need to know, it's a rough combination. And then you add in the mix that, you know, because of the lifestyle and how many people want to get at you in a lot of negative ways, you've cut off the doors and you may trust two or three people. But just because your best friend that you grew up with, because he knew you before you made it big, is a trustworthy person, it doesn't mean you want to take his business advice. You really need to talk to the expert and listen before you start investing your money. Fortunately, they don't, and all those things kind of collide, and big, big, expensive mistakes happen.
Priceless advice right there. words from somebody that has lived it and is making wise decisions. So talk to me a little bit about perception, because you're also mentioning branding, and all
right.
of these athletes are brands. How big is social perception for these athletes today?
It's huge. It drives the value of your name, and you really have to be conscious about what the perception is of you. And you have to remember, you know, like I said, you know, the lights will go off. The fourth quarter will come. The game will be over, and you'll be done. If you're only seen as the perception of you is only as an athlete, then you're going to have a hard time when you can't be an athlete anymore. But if you've made sure that you've articulated yourself well and communicated with everyone about your interests and your talents off the field, then that transition becomes that much easier. You can always leverage the fact that you are an athlete. You know, the fact that you're an athlete, you're going to get into so many doors. But you have to walk through those doors, and you have to be prepared to have a conversation that means something when you walk in that door. Because otherwise, people are just going to want to take a picture of you, and then you're going to be put out in the cold. And when you're not playing anymore, that phone's not ringing anymore.
So in your opinion, George, guys like a Charles Woodson that has his own wine, or a Michael Strahan that's now on TV,
right.
or even a Kobe Bryant that's doing some film work, are those connections and deals that you think were almost the seeds were planted before those guys finished playing ball?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Those come from, you know, being the guy who decided to go to that, you know, outing representing the team at some golf event or some event in the evening, and just talking to people in the room and meeting the CEO of this corporation or that company or some startup whiz, you know, and having those conversations and humbling yourself and going to these places and on your day off, not taking a day off, but making sure you're getting out there in the community. That's where these things come from, because one of the things athletes don't understand is business people love to be around athletes, but they don't love to do business with them because they really don't trust that they have the talent. So you really have to show that you have this talent, and only comes from building this network and having these, and being willing to learn from these people who have been doing this for 30, 40 years of their life.
Wow, amazing advice. A couple more questions here, and we'll let you go, George. And obviously, we greatly appreciate the time. What was the inspiration behind starting Brand Investment Law Firm?
Well, you know, when I began to practice law, and I was just doing, you know, just mergers and acquisitions on Wall Street. But, you know, I had this network from being an athlete and being an entertainer, and I started to see people I knew and cared about become in some very, very bad financial situations whenever their, you know, sports or entertainment career ended. And they, you know, they had advisors, they had good intentions, but they really couldn't relate to them and communicate to them what they really needed to inspire them to get on the right track. And I felt, because of my experience, I knew how to talk to these athletes and really get them thinking about things. And instead of scaring them and trying to tell them, you know, don't do this because you're going to be poor, you're going to lose all your money, athletes never think it's going to happen to them. So I more challenge them to, you know, don't you want to be a mogul? Don't you want to be bigger than Michael Jordan, bigger than LeBron James, and focus on that aspect and get them in the right direction.
Great technique right there. And last but not least, George, and once again, we appreciate your time. We'll definitely have to have you back on. But what advice would you give to a young athlete? We work with high school, junior college kids, and then once we start with them, we carry them through college. But what advice would you give to a young aspiring player right now listening to you as far as just a way to get started with being smarter off the field?
I would say definitely put some time into thinking of what your ultimate goal in life is. And if that thing is to be a professional football player, change it, because that's not an ultimate goal in life. That's just something that's on your path. And so once you get what that goal is, make sure every day you're walking in that direction and no other direction. And football is going to be part of that, and it's going to help you get there faster. And if you can't figure out what that is, just make sure that you always have a positive reputation, and you're speaking to people and treating them how you would want to be treated, because at the end of the day, you don't know who you're talking to. And when you're done playing football, that person who you shook hands, smiled, and asked about their life, that could be the person who's going to give you your job or want to go into business with you.
Yep. Wow. Well, hey, I wanted to bring you on because I knew you would hit a home run, and you definitely did tonight. So we appreciate your time so much, George.
Well, thank you for having me, Terrence. I truly appreciate it. It's been an honor, and I'll be on anytime.
And for those, because as I mentioned, we do work with kids that are playing in college and then they go off professionally. For those that might want to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you, George?
Sure. You can, we have a website, www.brandinvestmentlaw.com. You can go in there and get more into what we do and shoot our contact information. You can reach out to me personally at gscott@brandinvestmentlaw.com.
Perfect. Hey, I know you're on the East Coast, so hey, have a great day. Thank you once again for coming on, George.
Yes, thank you. God bless everyone.
All right.
Good evening.
So there you guys have it. That is Mr. George Scott. Once again, we appreciate his time. This is somebody that played big-time football at Syracuse University, and then he went on to become an attorney that now works with athletes and protects them off the field, helps them make smarter investment decisions, branding decisions, and helps them transition from the field to the boardroom or to life after football. One thing that I did want to recap with you guys that he said, if football is your end goal, your ultimate goal, he said, change it. I want you to make sure that you understand what he's talking about. If football is what you want to do and you want to play college football and maybe potentially professionally, go all out, go to the wheels fall off. You only got one shot at it. Obviously, hopefully you have some talent, and then you got to have some work ethic and drive, but go all out. But what George was saying is understand that you're going to stop playing football at a very young age. Even if you are the next Tom Brady, you're going to be done by 40 years old, and that's an exceptionally long career. So after that, what do you want to do? What are you passionate about? What do you love? Do you like cooking? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you want to be a coach? And what George is saying is start planting those seeds today, because you have the leverage as a student athlete to get people to pick up your phone call or get people to open the door for you. So really pay attention to that, and hopefully you guys got a lot out of tonight's show. If you guys didn't get to hear last week's show, we brought in one of our own, young Bumpy McGee. He is a redshirt freshman at Jacksonville University, D1 AA school, and is an amazing defensive tackle, breaking a lot of records in the strength and conditioning field as well. So if you didn't get to hear his show, go to our website at www.beforeyougopro.com. On the homepage, on the top right-hand side, you'll see all of our social network links and the little microphone in our blog archive. Everybody that we talk to as far as helping you become more journey on. Once again, hopefully you got a lot out of tonight's show. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for BYG and the rest of the BYG family. We will see you at the top. Have a good one.